company would come. I would have to be right still until the whole crowd ate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good but chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait. And then the preachers, they would come to stay a while with us. I would have to slip around and raise a little fuss, in fear that I would spill the beans or break the china plate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good but chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait. Before my time would come, all that chicken they would eat and just leave me the bun.
All right. It is Saturday, March 9th, 2024, and time for another edition of Blackburn 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Trading Post this evening. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Saturday and a wonderful weekend. Tonight's episode is episode number 65 and is entitled Noticing Patterns with Mr. Patrick Chanel. So, been trying to get him on the show for a long time, so I'm glad it finally worked out. Curious, funny story behind that we'll talk about later. But a quick shout out. First off, happy birthday to Commander Rockwell and happy birthday to Mr. Bobby Fischer. Interesting synchronicity that both of them were born on March 9th. So happy birthday. Okay, shout out to Mr. Richard Carey for having me on the RBN Friday Night Roundtable last night, along with Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener, Mr. David Scorpio. We had a good time and didn't get into too much trouble. I tell you that, Friday Night Roundtable starting to get a reputation around these parts. But anyway, also shout out to Mr. Mike. Speaking of having a reputation, a shout out to Mr. Mike Gaddy, Rebel Madman, for having me on today for our monthly Blackballed Spook Show on RBN. That's the second Saturday of each month. We do a deep dive into various subjects from 4 to 6, and then I drop off, and then he brings in Cal and DW, and they continue the analysis of what we talked about the first 2 hours. So I always have fun listening to that third hour on Sunday morning and see what everybody was talking smack about me or not, right? But anyway, we had a great time today, finished up our series on the history of false flag psyops, and we even threw in a little wag the dog in there from all those nuggets I had left over from that review we did on the Wag the Dog movie. Now, tonight's special guest, Mr. Patrick Chanel, is, you may hear him substitute hosting every now and then. He needs his own show, but he's probably known in the chat circuits as Windmiller and for being one of the holders of the banhammer in the North Kakalaki Trading Post chat room, enforcing the game rules. You know, no knife fights in the chat room. You know, but anyway, so he's also quite the local broadcast radio guy. He's a lot of, also into radio like I am, as well as the DJ in the Trading Post. He's always posting some of the coolest versions of songs that I never knew existed that always have a very interesting history. Now, for the newbies, we'll be opening up the phone lines after the bottom of the hour break, and you can call in and tell us what you want to talk about. That's Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, because you can can handle the truth. We have to keep stations like this on the air. So call in at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252 or toll free 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And as always, you can come out to the BB9 Trading Post Dutchtango.com chat room for the hottest news, the dankest memes, and the best tips on independent living. Come out to BB9 Trading Post Dutchtango.com. The sun never sets on the North Kakalaki Trading Post chat room, but if you're looking for a knife fight, we just assume you go somewhere else because you really don't want to tangle with Windmiller and Nick Don and Bobby Brushfire. You know, I never have to ban anyway, but they always get to them before I get to them. I deal with the appeals later on. So I wonder what Mr. Patrick Chanel wants to talk about tonight. The weather. Once again, we all over the place. We were snow last week, but it was beautiful springtime weather, a lot of rain, some good storms. And then tonight, depending on if the cold air comes in before this moist air leaves, we may get some more snow tonight. You never know here on Blackjack Mountain. Now, the official elk report, the Elk Spotter EX96, that's Echo X-Ray 96 reporting, no elk spotted on Blackjack Mountain today, but apparently the Peep Frog Morning Chorus last week on Wacky Wednesday was quite the success. When I checked, there are currently more frog eggs in our frog pond than you can count. Crazy critters in springtime. Just get a room, you guys. But they're out there doing it in the pond. So that's the end of the official North Kakalaki Wildlife Resource Commission Elk Spotter transmission. Or maybe he want to weigh in on the big ongoing Watauga County debate on which was more hateful, angry black man from Atlanta, Tobias M. Jones, going on a Mad Max terror rampage against white drivers in his semi-tractor trailer truck in New Boone, echo, 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 or some kid waving a swastika flag near the Carpetbagger Chicken Swinger Synagogue of Satan Clubhouse. Or maybe he'll want to talk about the big App State appreciation campaign on social media that completely collapsed when it was realized that nobody, especially the Heritage Appalachian people, appreciate App State except for the invading philanthropists, echo, 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 that are funding their white genocide globo homo agenda. Or maybe he'll want to talk about the latest slime mold invasion of Watauga County. Local multicultural, multi-generational, local family-owned farmers rental, one of those old standards of the old Boone that did all of our small engine service in over these years, and we bought many pieces of equipment from them because they had the steel dealership. Well, apparently they've been bought out by a UK holding company, the Ashted Group Public Limited Company. Echo, 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 have firmly dedicated and are firmly dedicated to imposing their ESG DEI hiring policies on Watauga County. And the new company goes by the brand name of Sunbelt Rentals. And I hear their contracts are particularly nasty in the small print. And, of course, they're firmly dedicated to their ESG DEI hiring, which explains why I didn't know anyone when I got there. But by the time I left, I decided that I didn't want to know anyone that works there now. I haven't been this bummed out since the Southern States FCX Farm Supply Cooperative closed in downtown Boone over a decade ago. Or maybe he'll want to talk about Stupor Tuesday and the big elections, which left us with Nikki Haley dropping out, but left North Kakalaki with the tough choice of replacing COVID King Roy Cooper for NC governor with either Commie Carpetbagger Chicken Swinger Josh Stein, echo, 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 on Zio Team Blue, or conservative angry black man Mark Robinson as Zio Team Red. Can the Tar Heel State survive being any more progressive? Or maybe he'll want to talk about the ongoing Fannie Willis trial. At what point are they going to bring Jerry Springer to the stand in this clown world idiocracy court case farce of justice? Or maybe he'll want to talk about Joe Biden flying over 320,000 illegal invaders and apparently paying for it with Homeland Security and FEMA funds? What's that all about? While the Jews may be united for refugees, I'm hearing there may be some argument against the various HIAS, that's Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, processing the centers along the South and Central America Calergi Trail as to who should be getting the airline bonus miles on those 320,000 illegal invaders flown in. Or maybe he'll want to talk about how Victoria Nuland has officially resigned from the State Department. Is there any truth to the rumor that she and her PNAC husband, Robert Kagan, just want to retire and maybe teach color revolution terror tactic theory at Jewish summer camps this summer? Or maybe he'll want to talk about Joe Biden and his State of the Union address and the follow-up analysis by Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones. Apparently, all agree that Hitler and the Germans were the most evil creatures to ever live, but there appears to be some argument as to whether Donald Trump is actually Hitler. Forget the border invasion and runaway Weimar inflation at the grocery store and the gas pump. We must defeat Hitler in this upcoming presidential election. Or maybe he'll want to talk about good old Governor Kristi Noem out in South Dakota signing over her new law about anti-Semitism and adopting the international definition of anti-Semitism to ensure the security of God's chosen people in South Dakota, which I think is about 300 Jews. But we have to sign laws to protect them. Or maybe he'll just want to talk about fishing. So welcome to the Snack Shack, Mr. Patrick Chanel, and tell us, good sir, what do you want to talk about tonight?
Hey, thanks, BB. I would like to talk about the weather. We've been getting some a bit of dry weather here. It's been a mild winter. I don't know about you, but we didn't have much snow at all here, and normally it's quite a lot. And also, the temperature never dipped below zero, maybe, 3 days this winter when we're used to, 30 below. But the maple syrup's running. The maple sap's running here. We're going to get some more, it looks like. It was cold today, below freezing, and then we're going to get some warm weather, and that's when it likes to run. So yeah, the weather's good. I like all those. You keep reminding us of those two incidents. We could probably talk about that a little bit, the one about the black truck driver and the teen with the Nazi flag at the synagogue. That's always what's the motive? What do you think the motive was behind the teen and the flag? What do you think?
Well, what I find interesting is he was never caught, right? And so he was never identified. They just dropped it. All they needed was an anti-Semitic event near the synagogue, and they could pass their, already written proclamation for the town to vote unanimously on. So it's like, okay, was this just completely synthetic from the beginning, and they just needed an event to launch it?
It's kind of like up in Canada when they had the trucker protest. They all of a sudden, some guy walks out with a Nazi flag, and everybody in the trucker convoy is suddenly associated with the Nazis. So I think we should talk about George Lincoln Rockwell. I've been listening to his speeches recently, and I really find him interesting. I've never really taken the time to pay attention to what he said or even listen to his speeches. So today I listened to one, and I was amazed. He was sharp. That's the thing.
He was spot on, but he was completely demonized. And, he was under MacArthur in the Pacific Theater. And, MacArthur was, the Jews love to, rag on MacArthur because MacArthur, like Patton, was calling them out and exposing all the communist infiltration in the U.S. government, military, et cetera. And George Lincoln Rockwell, followed suit. And, of course, when he did, he was demonized for it instead of people listening to it. And one of my favorite photos is him staring down MLK.
I saw that picture.
You are and what you are.
He's got a pipe in his hand.
Yes, I love that photo.
Nonchalant. Yeah, that's a good one. That shows that he's got some character there. And, he was a philosopher. He studied philosophy at Brown University. I was listening from his to his, from a speech he gave in 1966 at Brown in where is that, Providence, Rhode Island. And yeah, quite articulate man. Knew what he was talking about. Knew who the enemy was. Could name the Jew and not be afraid. And see that people around him couldn't. They couldn't, and that was their weakness. They couldn't name who their enemy was, and so they have, you know, they have no defense when you have that problem. And he was something else. I'll tell you what. And it was good to listen to that. I know that Bob Dylan mentioned him in a song called the John Birch Society Blues, and that's quite, it was 1963 when that came out, or 62, and he mentioned that George Lincoln Rockwell was the greatest American, you know, not Thomas Jefferson, not all these other people. And what's fascinating about Rockwell is it seems like he started out as an artist, which is kind of how Hitler started out as an artist at a certain point, was in the military, became an artist, and then became disenfranchised with it when he found out the whole advertising world, the Jewish art world, and the money laundering and that kind of thing that goes on in that, and the degeneracy of society, and how they use sex to sell things to people and keep them docile and placated. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, the lyrics in that Bob Dylan song. It says, now Eisenhower, he's a Russian spy. Lincoln, Jefferson, and that Roosevelt guy. To my knowledge, there's just one man that's really a true American, George Lincoln Rockwell. I know for a fact he hates commies because he picketed the movie Exodus, right? And you know, the movie Exodus is just so cringe of the retelling of the Nakba, right? It's just that this was this epic biblical thing, and what was really going on was quite different than what was shown in the film Exodus, but that, you know, Rockwell dared to, you know, talk bad about the Exodus film that proves that, you know, he hates commies.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like hint, it wasn't about commies, it was about the Jews, the Zionist Jews. He in that speech he brought up a Churchill quote about the Bolsheviks in the Russian Revolution, and how there were two types of Jews basically going, you know, involved in world politics. And it's basically, you've got the communist Jews, and then you have the Zionist Jews. And Churchill was trying to get people to become Zionists rather than communists. And there's a big fight between them, but really, you know, like Rockwell, the biggest threat right now seems to be from places like the B'nai B'rith, which has had a long history with America, such as Simon Wolf, who was the original head of B'nai B'rith during the time of Lincoln, and is actually, according to what I was listening to William Cooper talking about it back in the day, implicated in being the actual assassin of Abraham Lincoln rather than John Wilkes Booth. But that they were friends, and that they looked very similar to each other, and that he had breakfast with John Wilkes Booth before the assassination of Lincoln. And it's quite fascinating when you go down that rabbit hole. And then you see that a lot of these people in the B'nai B'rith are actors. They're part of acting troops, at least. You know, they started out as the Hebrew Orphan Society, and then it morphed into the B'nai B'rith, which morphed into the Masons. It's like, it's not quite clear to me how the Masons, you know, I know you were a Mason at one point, and that it's quite the thing, but it's not quite clear the origins of the Masons. Like, were they a Jewish thing from the beginning, or were they something else? What do you think?
Well, my, you know, working hypothesis that model originated during the second mini ice age from 10,000 BC to 4,000 BC in that Levant area at the advent of the early city states, fortified states like Jericho, Ai, Zor, Sodom and Gomorrah, of course, and it was a model of, you know, it was those fertility cults. They were matriarchal, and they developed the system of, you know, basically the state, if you will, owned all the children and separated them from males and females, and graded, culled, and sorted the males. And when you look at the, you know, Tower of Babel symbolism, that, you know, you start out and everybody advances up, you know, that's very much the Freemason model. And I think, you know, my further working hypothesis that when the Knight Templars dug under the Temple Mount in 1126 AD, they discovered not things that had anything to do with Judaism. They discovered a bunch of old stuff from those earlier fertility cult matriarchal systems. And the next 2,000 years was them incorporating it into Judaism under the guise of Kabbalah, Zohar, you know, tarot cards, you know, the black magic of sacred magic of Abraham Allen the Mage, those type of systems, that then the Talmud that, you know, incorporated this all in. And they said, you know, we're going to basically groom our own goyim. And so they took that Freemason model. And, you know, in 1717, you got the Grand Lodge of London established. And you could see how they basically spread out from there. And, yeah, that Freemason, a rabbit hole, that's a deep one, because, you know, basically it's, you know, goyim and Jews under this system of control. I always liked the film Occult Forces that they did in France during the German occupation of France, exposing, you know, the hidden forces of Freemasonry. It's basically a mob, you know, where you... You know, you're not using your own judgment. You're doing whatever your superiors tell you to do. You know, and that's the problem of these systems. It's, you know, it's a blood oath system. And if you refuse to obey the will of the group, they feel they have the right to kill you. And that's, you know, with the blood oath system. And with Freemasons, they have all these wonderful oaths of what they're going to do to you if you ever betray them, right? So I'm still here. But
I'm glad.
Non-payment of dues and everything, you know, they hate me. Yeah. So, but yeah, the Freemasonry thing is definitely deep. But that's my, you know, when you look at it from a game theory modeling, you know, I just really think that, you know, it was that old matriarchal system. They just swapped out the women as goddess with Jews as gods. You know, that, you know, in the Ishtar systems, you know, the women were all goddesses. You had the mother, maiden, and crone symbolism, right? And then the males were lesser than in those systems. And, you know, after 4000 BC, then everything kind of flipped. And it was decided that women won't hold positions of power anymore in these areas, and you had all that pushback. You know, it's like, and all those city-states were destroyed. That's the other thing, is that, you know, they went in and, you know, destroyed everything about those old city-states. And I just think when they rediscovered that information, they said, oh, this is a great system. The only problem is we can't let the women do it, but we'll do it, and we'll be the gods. And, you know, you get that. You know, this Jewish system, yeah, they really think that they are gods on the planet. And so that just kind of feeds into it.
And don't they pray three times a day that, thank God I wasn't born a slave?
Or a woman. Or a Gentile, yes.
Or a Gentile.
Yes, that's the big prayer.
So I should tell you now, a public service announcement to anybody listening on RBN, you set your clocks ahead. I'm sure you've heard it.
That's for in the spring last couple tonight. Hours. I'm telling you, it's a psyop.
I hate it.
Just when I get my sleep right, they change the time zones on me again. So.
I hate it. No good reason for it. The sun is at its apex. That's noon. That's the way it should be. That's in my humble opinion.
And your dogs, cats, horses, cows, chickens, they don't care. You know, they know when feeding time is. You know, they don't look at the clock. You know, so it's hard on them as well. So.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I'm going to start my own podcast here soon. I have an interview lined up with John Barber. You were talking about gaming. He knows a bit about gaming. He's out in Las Vegas, and he's a regular on Jeff Rentz's program over at Rentz.com. So Yeah, I'm excited for it. I heard from him last night. We've been talking, chatting back and forth on text and email, and it's going to be good. It's a good one. His forte is the Kennedy assassination, and he was friends with Jim Garrison.
Oh.
Back in the day. And he
knew
him up until
Jim
his death.
Garrison special that ran one time and then was buried. And I love that, you know, where he goes through the analysis of the JFK official story being completely impossible, and they never aired it again. And they only did it that time because we still had the fairness doctrine in this country. We don't have the fairness doctrine anymore. You know, Reagan took care of that. And then, you know, Bill Clinton did the rest of the telecommunications changes. But, yeah, I can't wait to hear that. Be sure to post it in the chat room. Are you going to do the podcast live, or are you going to record it and then
release it? Yeah, I'll do it live. I'll do it live. I have a few places I'll do it. On Telegram, I've got a channel, t.me/WindmillerRadio. Windmiller Radio on Telegram. So you can catch it there, and then another place, I think it'll be on speakfreevideo.com, which is another place I upload to and live stream. So yeah, that'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. You know, John, he's in his 90s. He just turned 90, but he's still sharp as a tack, so I'm looking forward to this. You know, you don't know how much time you have with somebody until it's, you know, it's too late. So
he's a legend.
He's a legend. He was friends with Frank Sinatra. He had his own television show. He was the one who first introduced on live television Red Fox, the comedian, which is something else, you know, old Red Fox back in the day.
I have been enjoying all those old Red Fox clips you've been posting in the chat room. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I missed this. This is insane. So,
yeah, they were they're a little more free to say things. They no qualms talking about Jews back in his day, and in fact, the title of John's only comedy album, John Barber's, is called "It's Tough to Be White." It's tough to be white, which is pretty good for back in '65 when it came out.
Exactly. You know, that's
so. I look forward to talking to him. And talking about his idea, what he thought about George Lincoln Rockwell, too, because finding out that Red Fox actually was good friends with Malcolm X, and that Malcolm X, toward the end of his life, you know, he was naming the Jews and taking numbers and exposing things, and it didn't turn out very well for him. You know, whenever you go against somebody who's got a lot of money and wealth and worldly power, you know, you're kind of like a clay pot going against an iron kettle, you know, when you smash, you get smashed. So it's tough, but, we're going to have lots of interesting things to talk about. I'll have other guests too. I talked with Brother Nathaniel and E. Michael Jones, and both of them hopefully will come on and talk with me too. I'll probably talk to you in one of them.
Just let me know when you want me on. I'll be there.
Sure.
All right, we're getting ready to go into a break here. Want to quickly give out this comment that I sent to Appalachian State University today, and then celebrate George Lincoln Rockwell's birthday. He says, "Today's liberal intellectuals who pride themselves on scientific method and being broad-minded are the most narrow-minded, self-righteous, and hate-filled bigots in the history of humanity. No primitive tribe worshiping with its witch doctor was ever more vicious in its hatred and suppression of heretics than today's Marxist intellectuals, anti-racists, and liberals." So with that said, you are listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. With us tonight is Mr. Patrick Chanel, and we will be back after these messages.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadreprecious metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer. Well, I'm standing on the corner with a bucket in my hand. I'm waiting for a woman, it ain't got no man, cause my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer.
All right, we are back. You are listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to welcome everyone back to the Trading Post this evening. And tonight's special guest is Mr. Patrick Chanel. And we're going to open up the phone lines now. If you want to call in and tell us what you want to talk about, you can call in at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252 or toll free 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And as always, please, 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 if you still have resource, please donate to RBN. Keep this network on the air. We have to have shows like this out there to battle this trillion-dollar megaphone monopoly that does not care about truth. They're just out there to sell the agenda. And so one of the things about the game theory of this, if they have complete monopoly, They can gaslight up to 74%, they claim. That was Solomon's Ash numbers. But if one truth advocate voice is in the mix, in that echo chamber, that 74% drops down to less than 5% very quickly. So it's amazing what just a little bit of truth will do to a whole mess of lies. So anyway, Mr. Patrick, please continue with what you were talking about before the break.
Yeah, well, I really want to talk a little bit about gambling, of all things. You're talking about the game theory and that sort of thing. Well, you know, the house always wins. They never, you know, they always get their 5% or whatever it is that they rig the games for at the casinos. So
not to
that's
mention
kind of the way
VIC.
The money system works. Say that again?
I said, not to mention the VIC. You always have to have the VIC in there. Which
the victim?
Is just, well, yeah, they call it the VIC, which is basically just, you know, your ante up to get in the game. So yeah, then they always win just on the law of averages. But, you know, just to play, you got to ante up, right? They call that the VIC. So
yeah.
It's a Yiddish word.
The VIC. Okay, yeah, I got to brush up on my Yiddish. Yeah, I'll have to ask Brother Nathaniel about that, the Yiddish phrases. He seems pretty knowledgeable on that. I have a little brother who plays on the Kansas City Chiefs, and I want to say that gambling should be outlawed right now. I think that casinos, all of these things, are a curse. They are the cause of so many problems in families, and it's a big problem, and it just seems like it's amplified in the last, I don't know, three, you know, not that long ago, when it just became all over television, sports betting. This, it used to be a taboo thing. You couldn't gamble on sports games or any of that kind of stuff. But now it's just like anything goes. It's terrible.
Well, that's the thing. It used to be a cultural taboo because people used to know better. They knew that the house always won and you were throwing your money away. And people that are addicted to that dopamine rush of winning, especially people who think that that's the only way they can win, you know, people that, you know, think they're unsuccessful, et cetera, but if they win, then they have that little high of, you know, I'm worth something because I'm a winner now. And, you know, it's just when you have family members that fall victim to that gambling system, and that it has become so normalized that, oh, just go down to the casino and you play the slots for a while, or go this, that, and, you know, here they have all those, you know, just electronic devices. You know, it's not even like, you know, you're sitting at a table like in the movies with people and you're playing cards or something. You just have rows and rows of these people sitting in stools pumping money into these machines, and, you know, they just keep doing it. They're just in a zombie trance until they win, and then they're all excited, and then they go right back. It's like the rats in the old B.F. Skinner experiments with the electrodes to their brain, that they're getting stimulated by hitting the trigger, you know, and it would hit the pleasure centers of the brain. To me, it's the same thing. And it's just maddening when they wrap it in virtue, like here in North Carolina. The last year I ran for political office, we were, you know, trying to fight the lottery, the education lottery. It's like, oh, it's not gambling, it's all going for education. And suddenly, you know, all the gas stations have lottery tickets and everybody's playing the games. And it's basically just another tax on the poor. And you look at who's getting the cream off the top, and it's always the usual suspects that, you know, are providing these services and taking their percentages. But yes, please continue.
Yeah, I think this all goes back to Kennedy. I'm trying to figure out why this Kennedy assassination is so important, you know, for my, like, father's generation and before that, you know, everybody remembers where they were when Kennedy was assassinated. It was a big problem, you know, it shocked everybody. And why was it so important? And I grew up Catholic, and I know a lot about Catholic doctrine, and I know things like gambling, all of those things, birth control, abortion, all of those things seem to come in around that time, from the trade-off between Eisenhower and Kennedy, and then Kennedy's assassination and LBJ. And when Kennedy was running, that was a big deal. We were going to have a Catholic president. Never happened in the history of American history that a Catholic would become president. You know, there's always been in this country kind of a anti-Catholic sentiment. And even in the 1800s, you had the anti-Masonic party, which is a lot of Catholics, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. And it's been a struggle. And when people were finding out that, oh, this Kennedy could win and he's a Catholic, they were freaking out. They were like, oh, no. Yeah, maybe he says, okay, well, I'm not going to touch gambling. I'm not going to touch birth control. I'm not going to, you know, whatever. It's like the Amy Coney Barrett is a perfect example nowadays of a Catholic getting into high office. And then she has to say to everyone, well, I'm not going to let my Catholic faith affect how I govern, and the rule of law is how the people vote and all this kind of stuff. And it's just ridiculous. It's just as much a sham as any of the Jewish stuff that they push on us. It's just, if it were a Jew, it'd be, oh, well, we got, you know, all the victims, you know, they're the victims, and here they're getting their comeuppance and they're coming up in the world. Well, a Catholic, you know, he was shot down. You know, they didn't like him, even though he played the game. He went along with the ADL and all these people. They still didn't like it, because they knew that just by a Catholic getting his foot in the door, some other Catholic come in and actually be a Catholic and not allow this culture of death that's come in. I think what they were afraid of was, you know, a Catholic would come in and then it's back to the ghettos with the Jews, like it was back in the days when say, like the Italian peninsula was the papal states and you were still run by Catholic law.
Right. And, you know, one of the big power shifts, that other 9/11 happened in the 30s when the Jews on September 11th, you know, had this mass murder of all the Christian crime bosses that did the prostitution, the gambling, the bootlegging. And this laid way for Meyer Lansky and Murder Incorporated to basically take over that whole industry. And one of the things here in North Carolina you saw was using the Indian reservations to bring gambling into the state. So,
yep.
You know, here in Cherokee, that's the big moneymaker. But, you know, what is it bringing to the state? What is it bringing to the Cherokee reservation but Jewish organized crime and people throwing their money away? Okay, we've got some calls lining up we need to get to. So, Mr. Producer, could we have Andy in Texas, please? Mr. Andy, you're there, sir.
Hey, you know what? It's just funny how Christianity is supporting this Judaism BS, and it's got to be from their origins. It has to be from where Christianity came from. I mean, so everybody believes. You know, the Jewish people, they say, you are worshiping one Jew. I suggest that you should worship all the Jews. You know, I mean. And that is how our entire society is running away with this entire Israeli war. All the news stations are saying Israel at war, Israel at war. Who are they at war with? I mean, have you seen a Hamas soldier? Do they wear uniforms? And where are these hostages that they're talking about? Where are these hostages at? I mean, they've blown up every stretch of Palestine or Gaza, and so where? Okay, so did you guys know where they're at? But you didn't bomb that area, but you bombed everything else. But you know where they're at. So give us back our hostages. Is that not just an interesting scenario? And then we've got the government of the United States giving them money. Okay, first and foremost, what does money do? What does money do? Ukraine, they're sending over these tanks and stuff and all this stuff, but they're also sending tons of money. And therein lies why your Congress isn't doing anything, because they're getting kickbacks from that money. All those billions of dollars they're getting kickbacks from, the things they could have done with $165 billion that they've sent to Ukraine right now, they could have done several different things for the United States, but they don't give a crap about us. They simply
Insider
don't care
trading.
About American people. Yeah, exactly.
So, Mr. Patrick?
Yeah, it's like Nancy Pelosi making all of her money with insider trading of everything that goes on in Congress. They are privy to all this secret information that isn't shared with the public, and they know these things ahead of time, these big military contracts. So they're all getting paid off, and they're all getting junkets to go to Israel and back and forth. And yeah, it's a joke, you know. Our military is basically the Israeli military, as far as I'm concerned, the Jewish military, let's put it that way, because they control things. They control the money. They pay the soldiers. Soldiers are like anybody else. They need to get paid for what they do, and they deserve to get paid. But the problem is who's paying them, who's printing the money. And as far as Christ, they don't believe in the divinity of Christ. You have these messianic Jews, right? I was listening to Brother Nathaniel talk about this, where he was a messianic Jew for a while before he converted to Russian Orthodox Christianity. And he was saying that they stressed so much the Judaism of Christ. Oh, Christ was a Jew. And it just becomes, his identity then becomes a Jew as a man rather than the divinity. And there was always a problem. There were always two factions going on with the Old Testament going on from
what's really funny about all this is that once you become a representative or a senator and whatnot, you have to give allegiance to Israel. And then their states are saying that, I know I was a contractor, and if I wanted to work for Washington State, I had to sign an allegiance to Israel that I would not boycott Israel. You know, and I didn't sign it, obviously, because it just seemed weird to me. But this is the thing going on. So Israel, a.k.a. the Jews, I don't know, call them what you want, but they're superior people to us. They obviously have more power than us, and they can do this. And so, you know, the number one thing is, you know, the people that you cannot criticize, obviously, are the people in control.
All right.
Yeah, their power is because they're allowed that, yes.
All right. Great call. Thanks for calling. Anything else before we let you go?
Well, hey, no, just to say, great show. Thanks for letting me talk, and I appreciate
it.
Yeah,
great comments. Yeah, thanks for calling and listening. All right, Mr. Have a great weekend. Okay, Mr. Producer, we have Mr. Scott in Arizona, please. Mr. Scott, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Greetings. Happy Saturday.
Yeah. It's a snowy one here. Yeah, we got 5 inches in Vernon. I was like, what? Well, anyway, about the gambling, Joseph Goebbels' diaries, I got a copy of that book, and he had a quote from Adolf Hitler, and he was saying that you either make more lotteries or make the prize bigger. That way we can get more money out of the little man without offending him.
That's kind of how they do it. You know, they, like BB was saying, it becomes philanthropy to gamble. It's going to a good cause, so hey, why not? I hear that from people all the time, you know, people I work with. It's like, well, I buy my poll tabs, and it's going to a good cause because it's going to the state. It's like, well, okay, yeah, it's going to some state fund for whatever, education, who knows
Colorado?
What. Say that again?
You talking about
Colorado? I'm talking about anywhere. I'm in Wisconsin. Yeah. I'm in northwestern Wisconsin, kind of between Duluth, Superior, and St. Paul, Minnesota, you know, St. Paul, Minneapolis. But, it's everywhere, you know, everywhere.
So
and then
Colorado.
These Indian casinos, the reservation casinos, it's basically ghetto. They call these places ghetto around here. It's the Indian ghetto. And it's a reason, you know, they're allowed to do all these debauched things on those reservations. And there's tons of problems with drugs, crime, alcoholism, you know, it's nuts. And I don't like it. And the gambling doesn't help it. The gambling is making things worse. And we need to do something about it.
Well, in Colorado, here in North Carolina, the big thing they're trying to push is to be able to bet on college sports events. And you know, can the coaches and the athletes themselves bet? You know, so it's just that's how debauched it's getting here. So anything else, Mr. Scott?
Yeah, well, in Colorado, they did the lotto for the education, right?
Right.
Which they put the money from the lotto towards the education, but they took all the money that out of the general budget that was going to education and put it somewhere else. So it's just
That's right.
And even if it is going to education, what kind of education are they getting? That's the question they ask is like...
Good Marxist education?
Yeah.
LGBT.
Yeah. Learn how to hate your neighbor.
Yeah.
All right. Good call.
Reagan gave us that. Remember that when he went to that emergency meeting in Iceland with Gorbachev? And they came back with this education deal we got now.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Anything else before we let you go?
I'm good. Thanks.
All right. Well, you have a great weekend. Thanks for calling in. Okay, Mr. Producer, can we have Mr. Lark in Texas? Lark, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, Lark. How do you, Jen? I don't know that I've ever had a chance to talk to Mr. Windmiller here, but I'm glad I have the opportunity because I just want to drop a few breadcrumbs for fun. Number one, this idea of gambling is a worthy topic to touch upon because the entire new economic system coming into view is predicated on what's called the social impact bond. And that was an invention of a gentleman by the name of Sir Ronald Cohen over there in the UK. And they're going to turn the whole country into basically a version of Wall Street and Vegas and everything else. It's called social engineering as a service. There's also mobility or transportation as a service. And it's very interesting to me that, on a side note, you're going to be talking to Mr. Barber. I mean, Barber really loves him some Jews, doesn't he?
That's kind of why I want to talk to him, too. You know, he grew up half Jewish with his mother in Canada in Toronto, and then his father ran away. Well, didn't run away. He joined the military and then deserted them. But
I'd like to get his take on the Rat Pack and people like Groucho Marx, and I bet he knows something about a Paraprosdokian saying, you know, for instance, because he appreciates comedy. I'd also like to hear you sometime expand upon people like Peter Maurin and Dorothy Day and Catholic Charity Services. And just in conclusion, I'm reading an article now. It's from 2019. It's titled simply On Communitarianism by Richard Haywood of the Worthy House. And there are many things that are not being discussed today, but this whole idea of a brand new economic system predicated on gambling, I think you hit upon a worthy topic there. Patrick,
well, what they want to do with Gaza is level it, and then what do they want to put up? Casinos and resorts.
Yeah,
and
they love that stuff.
That's what they'll do.
Yeah, as long as they control it, they're loving it, and they're thinking that since Americans are so gullible, for instance, that we're going to love this
pleasure
whole idea
seeking.
Turning the whole world into a giant casino and a lottery and everything else. It'll be a dystopian one, that's for sure.
Or is it the great strip mall gay disco or whatever? E. Michael James calls it.
Anyway, I don't need to say much more except that I'm glad to hear your voice. And
Thanks, Lark. I'll have to talk to you, too. We have some things to discuss.
Well, I'm easily found. The people at RBN know how to reach me, and I'm happy to talk anytime. I'm cool. Boring that way. When you get old, people...
Yeah, that's all right. I like to talk, we're in good company then, if that's the case.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for calling in. You have a great weekend. All right, Mr. Producer, can we have Fred in Wisconsin? Mr. Fred, are you there?
Yes, I am. I just heard somebody mention they were from Wisconsin. This is a little off topic, but I'm pushing on that Senate race with Eric Hovde, and I found something interesting that he's being, as far as his donation things, they're using this thing called WinRed, and I try to get into that because I said, look, with Ron Johnson, we had a way to send checks, you know, a P.O. box, and this company, they want all digital credit card stuff, so I couldn't get anywhere, and finally I got a hold of the state of Wisconsin GOP. Somebody got back to me. They were unaware of that. I went to Greene County, talked to somebody at the GOP, and they found me a P.O. box, and I finally was able to send the guy a check. But I was really, you know, curious about how some of these races are being handled. And I'd like to see Baldwin gone. She goes back to Cole when he was the senator many years ago. But I just was wondering from the Wisconsin guy, how do you feel about this?
Well, Tammy Baldwin, you know, I'm the kind of person, well, the way I see it is you have to go for the lesser of two evils if you're going to vote. I personally am not going to vote anymore. I'm done with voting. I don't think it does much good. But if you're going to vote, go for the lesser of two evils. Tammy Baldwin, pro-abortion, get her out of there. Get her out of that seat.
She didn't want the border. She voted against the border wall.
Well, yeah. If she's willing to kill babies, she's willing to.
Oh yeah, she's bad.
Let the guard down. Let the bandits and rapists in.
Yeah.
Did you know that the guy running against her? Yeah. Did you know that the Republican Party was started in Wisconsin?
No, I didn't know that. I'm not an original Wisconsin. I'm a transplant.
Where are you from originally?
Colorado.
Yeah. Nice place.
Not anymore.
Aspen's a weird place.
I lived outside of Denver. I was lucky. I lived in the foothills in Evergreen. Great place. And it all went south when the Texas boys were there, it was good. You know, just a bunch of cowboys. And they bought and sold stuff. California moved in. Man, I had a guy with a Volvo pulling my driveway at 8,500 feet, get out. I had a burn barrel in my driveway, and he's telling me I can't have a fire. So we had mountain lions and stuff. I kept a .45. I just picked it up. I didn't point it. I just showed him. I said, get the fuck off my land, pardon. And he calls the cops, and the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department shows up, tells him to get in the saddle and get the hell out of there. And
nice.
That was in 2000. Now it's the other way around. They throw me in jail. You know,
oh yeah,
it's really, really bad in Colorado. It's a shame because when I was living there, there was cowboys and hippies, and I brought a hot dog stand in there, and you know what hot dogs were. I went nuts out there. It was a great life. But I'm concerned about Wisconsin. I thought I'd make a quick one. I'm just hoping somebody gets behind this Hovde guy, and we get rid of Baldwin.
All right, Fred, thanks for calling. We're out of time. Mr. Patrick, last word before we call it a night.
Well, thank you, and God bless you, Frederick, and God bless the RBN audience. In Jesus Christ's name, holy name. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. And you have been listening to Blackburn 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to thank Mr. Patrick Chanel again for coming on the show, especially at such short notice. And until next time, I will see you all at the rendezvous.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They they can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.